Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the CHIP programs, the Coronary Health Improvement Project offered across the country and around the world. So get ready to feel better, think clearer, and enjoy a closer walk with God. I'm your CHIP Health host, Charles Mills. Okay, listener, on today's program, we're going to show you how you can do the impossible. That's right. You're also going to learn how to look at food in a whole new light and enjoy it more than you have in the past, because you'll be eating guilt-free. And believe it or not, you're going to be eating like a horse. And trust me, horses eat a lot of food. The secret of losing weight isn't how much you eat, it's what you eat. You're about to discover the seemingly impossible privilege of eating more and weighing less. Here to help us learn how to make this amazing transformation is our good friend Dr. Hans Diehl. Dr. Diehl, first let's visit a strange phenomenon in this country. For the past 20 years, we've had some very sophisticated diets come on the market. We've been lean cuisining, carbohydrate counting, calorie calculating, and basically dieting ourselves literally to death. But look at us. We're more overweight than ever before. Dr. Diehl, what is going on?
Well, actually, we have fallen into the trap of thinking that going on a diet would solve our problem. We don't want to go on a diet. If we want to lose weight, my recommendation is let all diets die. What you really need to do is not to go on a diet, because once you're on a diet, you have to get off it again, right?
Yes.
Because a diet is based on monotony. You know, you eat only grapes, or you eat only grapefruits, or you eat only, you know, whatever it is. But when it comes to being really successful, you need to develop a strategy that will help you to not only maintain health, that will increase your energy, that will lower the risk of disease, that will reduce your food bills, and that will allow people to eat as much as they want and still lose weight without feeling hungry.
Because diets have always traditionally been about what you can't eat, what you have to drop off. You have to eat less of everything. You have to eat less of everything you like. That's what diets are all about.
Yeah, it's a very self-sacrificing type of a lifestyle. You feel deprived of food. And what we help people understand is, if you really want to be successful in weight management, you have to use a rational approach, and that is you have to eat more until you're full, but you will have fewer calories. And here's the thing. All these dietary programs, they try to restrict food while we restrict calories. That's totally different. You see, you can eat one tube of Pringles, which is 1,000 calories, or you can eat 10 potatoes.
Whoa.
It's the same number of calories.
Whoa.
And yet the general approach to losing weight is, you know, cut back on the food. Don't eat as many Pringles. Don't eat as many French fries. Don't eat any that many hamburgers. You know, these are all high-calorie foods. Don't eat as much of these. But we are saying, no, it's not so much how much you eat, but what you eat. So eat those potatoes and fill yourself up. Don't worry about portion size, because they are not very calorically densely packed foods.
You know, there was an interesting illustration in that movie, Forks Over Knives. We've talked about it on the program here. It showed a graphic of a stomach and what 500 calories of different foods would do. Do you remember that graphic at all, Dr. Diehl?
Sure.
There was a stomach. Think of it as an empty stomach. And when you had 500 calories of, for instance, a high-calorie food, which would be half of a thing of Pringles, okay, only a small amount of the stomach is full. The stomach is not triggering the brain. The brain is not triggering you to let you know that you're full, because your stomach is only a third full with those little half a bag of 500 calories of Pringles. If you eat potatoes instead of potato chips, your stomach will fill up for that same amount of 500 calories. You can eat a lot of potatoes, your stomach will fill up, and you will be full. So here we are eating high-calorie foods and not filling up our stomachs. Is this one of the problems we're facing?
Yeah, high-calorie foods means that you have little volume, but lots of calories. Mm-hmm. When you have little volume, like you're suggesting, it only fills the stomach to a certain amount, then it does not trigger the stretch receptors in the stomach wall, sending a message to the brain, hey, we're full. Yeah. So that's why you just feel like you want to eat more and more and more, because there's no signal going to the brain. But if you had a big salad and you had some potatoes, for instance, and you're filling yourself up on that, your stomach will be full, but you only have maybe 100, 150 calories. And so it's the stretch receptors that are activated by the volume that is inside the stomach, which is not triggering the brain and sending a message, hey, we're full down here, and the appetite goes down.
So we have to literally, physically fill our stomach to activate those stretch receptors, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Mm. All right. And we're not doing that. When we have a diet, we eat just a very little food. You know, everything is all prepackaged. We have all the right minerals and vitamins and calories and everything, but the volume is tiny. And we put that in our stomach and we're not full. So whenever we diet, we're hungry because it never is turned off. On the other hand, when we eat those apples and those oranges and that salad and those beans and those legumes and, and that grain, we're physically filling the stomach up. That's a new way of thinking, Dr. Deal.
Well, it probably is, and it has to do with the idea that people don't realize that small volumes of high-calorie foods are really doing us in. Just think about this. If you add one extra pat of butter to the daily diet, okay, you just add one extra pat of butter, that's about 100 calories, you know, that pat of butter, you will actually add 10 extra pounds of body weight in 1 year.
So
you know, even small amounts of excess calories, and it may take just a pat of butter, or that extra 2 teaspoons of sugar. And right there, they will add up, and you don't even notice it, because those kind of foods, like fats, oil and grease, and sugars in particular, and maybe some of the white flour products, they come in small packages, but they're loaded with calories. And of course, you can also perhaps add alcohol here. Yes. Alcohol, again, is calorically fairly dense, and we underestimate the number of calories that are being consumed by using alcohol.
Okay, so Dr. Deal, if I want to eat a steak, I have to get a really big steak and eat it to fill my stomach up, right? Because that will make me feel full and I'll be fine. Okay, all right. But what else am I giving my body if I eat that big stomach full, if I actually can get all the spaghetti and all the meat sauce and everything out there? What am I actually putting down there?
So if you have that big steak, you know, those 10 ounces, some of them are actually much larger than that nowadays, but you just take sort of a medium to large size steak of 10 ounces, and you have your potatoes with plenty of butter or French fries, you know, you fill up that stomach. Yes, you do fill it up probably, but you will also have just consumed 2,000 calories.
Oh, my, Okay. And 2,000 calories is about what you should eat all day long if you're a man, and 1,500 calories if you're a woman. Is that about right?
That's about right, roughly.
Okay. So it's what we eat. I guess that's the message we're trying to get across here. It is what we eat. It's not how much we eat, because you can overeat so easily on such small amounts of food because of all the calories and the fat and the oil in there, right?
Well, I mean, just think about it. You are taking candy bar, and that's 500 calories, and you know, that you just inhale them. You hardly know that you had it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody asks you, what did you have for dinner? You don't remember. It was a candy bar. And so, but then are you full? No.
No.
Because it doesn't really fill your stomach. Okay. Those stretch receptors are not activated yet. So you take a second candy bar, another 500 calories. Are you full? No, because the volume, again, is fairly small. So now you still don't activate these stretch receptors, so you still feel hungry. The appetite is there. So you take a third candy bar. Now you have 1,500 calories. Are you full? Probably not. And so then you have a big milkshake, and maybe then you get full, and now you had 2,500 calories.
Boy.
That's where we have to find a different approach, and that is eat more foods, the right kind of foods, that are not so solidly, densely packed, and you can eat more food, and you will lose weight if you're overweight.
Now, Dr. Deal, I've never asked you this question, and you don't know what's coming, so I've never asked it, but I'm very curious. When a person becomes overweight or obese, does the actual physical size of the stomach change? I mean, the actual physical chamber of the stomach, does it become large? Because if it becomes larger, then you would have to put more food in it and more food in it for it to have that receptor trigger the fullness.
Yeah. I need to check that out a little bit more. I think it probably doesn't affect the size of the stomach.
Yeah. I'm thinking not.
Just because you're getting larger on the outside, right? Uh-huh. Doesn't mean that your stomach inside grows larger. No, probably not.
Okay. So this works for a person who is overweight. This works for a person who is not overweight. The stomach is relatively the same size. And so this way of living, this kind of eating works for everyone the same. And that's good news, because a large person says, well, look at me, I'm huge. I need to eat more food. And that may not be necessarily the case. Am I on the right track here?
That's right, yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're talking with Dr. Hans Deal about an possible situation here that a lot of people just find hard to believe, that to lose weight, you have to eat more food. That just doesn't work for most people, because losing weight is all about sacrificing and dropping food by the tons. But you know what? If you're eating the right kinds of foods, you can eat a whole lot more. And we're going to learn about some of the foods that we can put into our bodies that are low in calorie, high in flavor, and high in something else that fills you up, and you can't find it anywhere but in the type of foods that the CHIP program teaches you about in their Coronary Health Improvement Project. And we'll discuss that on our return. We have a short break coming up. When we return, more with Dr. Deal about the wonderful news that we can eat more and weigh less. Stay tuned. Did you know that there's a direct correlation between eating animal protein and experiencing increased rates of many diseases? In 1900, people got 70% of their protein from plant foods. Today, we get 70% of our protein from animal products, products that are high in fat and cholesterol. In 1900, very few Americans died from coronary heart disease. Today, it's responsible for every third death. Cancer rates have skyrocketed as well. It does matter what you eat.
I'm Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
Hi, I'm Dr. Roger Greenlaw. I have sent many of my patients to the CHIP program with great success. It's the finest program to help people take charge of their health and to live better lives.
For more information about the Coronary Health Improvement Project and to find resources to help you live a healthier, happier life, visit chiphealth.org. That's chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. We're talking with Dr. Hans Deal. He is the founder director of the Coronary Health Improvement Project and executive producer of this program. And we love talking about food here. This may sound strange to some people. You guys talk about food all the time. And that's true, because why? We love food. You love food. Don't we all love food? I think God did a wonderful service to us by giving us taste buds, Dr. Deal. And we love food. We enjoy it. Unfortunately, it is food. It is food that is causing a lot of the problems that we are seeing in the mirror and we're seeing in our hospitals today. Food is becoming our enemy, and it's our fault. I got to say this. I hate to say this. It's our fault. But you know what, Dr. Deal? We can't be totally to blame. Am I right?
Yeah, that sounds a little bit harsh.
I know. I thought about that. Well, let's back off a little bit.
Yeah.
Whose fault is it?
Well, I think that much of the problem of obesity has to do that we are being seduced by a culture that is just offering its tantalizing foods on every corner, every hour on television, everywhere you go, you're being feted with foods that are not in our best interest. And, you know, what we really promote in our culture is rich foods. There are taste sensations. We have a penchant for more and more indulgence of those senses. And so as we try to find and develop more engineered foods to satisfy the craving of our taste buds, we are then also expanding the size of our width, because these foods are usually fairly high in calories. And, you know, so in a sense, I want to take the pressure off the listener that might be struggling with overweight and obesity. We need to recognize that our culture is telling us everywhere we go, eat, drink, and be merry, and somehow the doctors will take care of you tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Or they say, well, and tomorrow you can diet. Isn't that what we usually
say? That's what they say. That's right. Yes.
And so in the process, you know, we have supermarkets that offer some 30, 40,000 slickly packaged calorie-dense products. And then you have magazines touting the latest quickie diet.
Yes.
And then you have fast food restaurants tempting us from nearly every street corner with takeout service. But you know, they don't really, it's really not takeout service, but nutrition is what they take out.
That's what they take. Yes.
You know, they take out the fiber. Mm-hmm. Because when you have refined foods, processed foods, you usually lack fiber. Fiber, you used to call this in the past roughage.
Yeah.
It gives us a sense of fullness. You know, and I can give you maybe a few examples. Modern food technology has turned inexpensive, low-calorie, high-volume foods into expensive, high-calorie, low-volume caloric bombs. Really. And so it's not possible to eat a whole meal's worth of calories with only a few bites of food.
Oh.
You know, they come in small packages, loaded with calories, but you're not full. So no wonder people feel hungry and dissatisfied. And, of course, then they overeat. And how does it happen? I think we need to really focus on maybe two or three things. Number one is the processing of food. You know, just think about this. You could strip 7 pounds of sugar beets. You strip the sugar beets of their bulk, fiber, and nutrients, and you can produce 1 pound of pure white sugar.
Hmm.
Look, 7 pounds of sugar beets, and you remove the bulk, the fiber, the nutrients, everything, and then you have 1 pound of white sugar. It's totally refined, has no nutritional value, but sugar now represents over 20% of the calories that we eat, especially in the form of soft drinks, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So then, you know, we can also take a look at what we have done to oils. Oil comes, for instance, in corn, right?
Sure.
But we don't eat corn to get our oil. We eat, we get our oil in the form of oil, right?
Corn oil, yes.
Corn oil, yeah, for instance. And so it's very easy to overeat on these kind of things. They're very high in calories. They have virtually no nutritional value. They're totally refined. They're extracted fats from good food, in this case, taken out of corn. And that makes up for another 20% of our calories that we eat every day. So that's already 40%. The sugars, the fructose, all these kind of things. And then you have now the fats and oils that you have in a refined form extracted. And then you have to think about what we have done to certain grains. We've taken the fiber out. We've taken the nutrients out. And then we turn it into alcohol. Now, there again, that's about another 10% of what we eat, calorie-wise. And so right there, you have 50% of the calories Americans eat have no nutritional value, but they have calories. And so we're overfed and undernourished. And then when you think about the fiber aspect, there is no fiber in these kind of foods. It's all taken out. And then when you take, in addition to this, the high amount of animal products that we consume here, animal products have no fiber whatsoever. And so fiber, which is a wonderful, not only a filler, but it's also very important for digestive processes and keeping the intestinal system working very well and regularly. When you take fiber out, you have all kinds of problems. For one thing is you are not concentrating the calories, and you have smaller volume. and you don't activate those stretch receptors in your stomach, and you still think you're hungry, and you're looking for more food.
And I understand from conversations with you in the past that this fiber, this whole fiber concept, is vital to health. It's not something that you take out without some dire consequences. Am I right? Mm. What happens to us when we don't have enough fiber?
Well, for one thing, when you refine food, you're not only taking out usually the fiber, but you're also taking out usually many, many of the nutrients. Our classic example, whole, you know, kernel of wheat. You know, once we begin to refine wheat and we turn into white flour, we lost some 16 different nutrients at different levels. And among those, we lost out on the adequate amount of fiber. But fiber is also found in, is only found in plant foods. It's not found in animal products. And when you don't have enough fiber, you have to worry about diabetes. You have to worry about diverticulosis, you have to worry about hemorrhoids, you have to worry about constipation, you know, all these things that affect our intestinal tract. Because when you have fiber in the diet, it holds water in the food as it goes through the intestinal tract and finds its proper exit. And so that's what usually should happen. But Americans only take in about 10 to 12 grams of fiber. Other nations where you don't have constipation, hemorrhoids, and all these kind of things, and certain cancers of the intestinal tract, they take in about 30 to 70 grams of protein of fiber. So fiber is very, very important, and we have to increase our fiber intake. And you're not just doing that by taking a supplement, because there's so many different kinds of fibers. And we need to have all of them, you see. So the best way to get this is by eating more whole grains, eating more tubers, you know, like potatoes and yams and squash and so on, more beans and lentils, and more fresh whole fruits. These are the kind of foods that are very nutritious, they're inexpensive, and there are lots of fiber, and they're very, very low in fat. And then you can eat more, you feel healthier. You increase your energy levels, you lower the risk of disease, you reduce your food bills, and you allow people to eat as much as they want and still lose weight without feeling hungry.
You know, you're absolutely right, Dr. Deal, as I hear you talk about this. There are no labels on that candy bar that says, you know, may cause constipation. there are no labels there on the side of meat that says, you know, diverticulitis. Watch out. We are not told about this. We are in the blind. And so, listener, I'm going to have to say it is not your fault. Until now, from now on, from this moment on, it is, because you know the truth. And Dr. Deal, help us make this transition. How do we train our bodies to crave the good things? Because you know what? As you know, in the past, bad food tastes pretty good.
Well, because you're used to it. But once you retrain your taste buds, you begin to realize these are satiatingly sweet foods that we usually love to have. Now they lose some of their special attractiveness. If we really want to retrain our taste buds, we need to also begin to drink more water. Because many times when people think they're hungry, they're actually just looking for, you know, to quench their thirst. It's really a signal that you need to drink more. So I think we should develop the habit of drinking plenty of water, get into a daily walking program, and then also be aware of weak moments. You know, for instance, if one cookie leads to a dozen, don't eat the first one.
See? You know this to be true.
We all we always tell our trip participants, you know, have a support person, a partner. And if you have that cookie in your hand and you're just about putting it into your mouth, call that partner and say, I need some help here. And what does your partner tell you? Enjoy the cookie. Enjoy the cookie? Right. Eat it. But then seal the jar. See, that's the issue here. Many times when we have, you know, those special, highly refined cookies, you cannot just eat one.
Right.
You know, you cannot just have one M&M, right?
Right.
You have to have a whole bag. And so this is then what we need to do. We need to develop an internal strength or have a support structure that we can rely on, and we can do it together.
What you need to do, Dr. Deal, is have like 12 friends, and then you call each one with one cookie. I'm just cheating. No, 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 we don't do that. Oh, my goodness. I should never take that program again. No, 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 no. Okay. So, we find help. Now, let's talk in the 3 or 4 minutes left on the program, let's talk about spirituality. Is that important too? Is a growing connection with God vital to gaining and maintaining health too?
Well, you know, there are several levels that we perhaps need to talk about, and that is, if you really believe that there's a creator God that made the kind of foods that would be best for us, you know, then you probably look for foods that don't have nutrition labels.
Yeah.
These would be foods that don't have all the refinement. These would be foods that not have been processed. These are foods like potatoes, vegetables in general.
Yeah.
You have fresh fruits, you know, the blueberries and the raspberries, all these kind of things. You begin to looking more for whole grain products, and you begin looking more for beans and lentils and maybe a few nuts. These are the kind of things that you want to look at. But also you have to think about many people eat because there is maybe there's boredom, maybe there's an emptiness, maybe they're celebrating, maybe there's poor self-esteem, maybe they eat for food becomes a pacifier, food makes us feel good, and you know, for these kind of people, the self-esteem begins to erode more and more as we become larger and larger, and we look in the mirror and we don't fit into society quite anymore, and you know, we feel. You know, so I think God can help us there to have maybe a different level of self-confidence. You know, He didn't make us as failures. We are loved regardless of how many layers are between us and other people. That's not the issue. We have a value, an intrinsic value, because we belong to a God who cares.
And when we sit down to a meal like you described with that whole food, that's what God gave us to eat. That's what God brought into our lives. That's a loving God, because what He has for us builds life. And if we turn our back on that, we can destroy our lives just as rapidly. Well, Dr. Deal, I really am excited about the fact that I can tell people to eat more, they can weigh less, but they have to be careful what they eat. And it's very, very important that they learn that right now, because it's not you don't have to sacrifice to be healthy. You can enjoy an abundance of food, but enjoy the food that God prepared for us to eat and enjoy. And you can worship Him with every bite. Thank you, Dr. Deal, for being here and sharing this with us. We appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you.
Listener, I want you to check out www.chiphealth.org. Lots of good information there, resources you can bring into your family to help you live a healthy life. That's very important. That's www.chiphealth.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.